As was stated, our topic is crystallization of character. By way of introduction, these are the 5 points we hope to consider. Number one, what is it? Number two, why is it important? Number three, who gets it and how? Number four, how does it tie in with foundation doctrines? And number five, how does it affect our view of the future? You might ask brethren to turn their videos off if they don't need it because it affects bandwidth. Thank you. Number one, what is it? A crystallized character is a fixed character that is no longer subject to change. This is the kind of character that God has, as we read in James 1:17, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. All God's intelligent creatures who will ever attain to everlasting life must have a character that is crystallized for good. They must love righteousness and hate iniquity, as stated in Psalm 45, verse 7, and Hebrews 1, verse 9. However, fixity of character can be either good or bad. Satan is an example of a character that is crystallized, but in an evil direction. Anyone who goes into the second death, with one exception, will do so because of having a character that is crystallized toward evil and sin. The Apostle Paul in Hebrews 6, 4 through 6 says that it is impossible for such an one to be renewed to repentance. It is also important to consider what it isn't. A crystallized character is not a condition of stagnation. God is not stagnant, but dynamic. He is always doing something, in fact, many things at the same time. The Psalms in the Night for July 5th. Think for a moment of the memory that never fails, of the judgment that never errs, of the wisdom that plans for eternity without the possibility of failure, and that times that plan with unerring precision for the ages to come, of the power and skill which can harness even every opposing element, animate or inanimate, and make them all work together for the accomplishment of his grand designs, of the tireless vigilance that never ceases, nor seeks relief from the cares of universal dominion, whose eye never sleeps, whose ear is ever open, and who is ever cognizant of all the necessities and active in all the interests of his broad domains. A crystallized character is not necessarily fixed regarding knowledge, understanding, experience, planning, or activity. All God's intelligent creatures are, by definition, created with a beginning, and as such, they will never stop learning, understanding, growing, and developing in experience. They will forever pursue the noble endeavors that God places before them. Because God has no beginning, he is unique in several ways. He is a being and not a creature. His knowledge and understanding are intuitive, but he continues to dynamically carry out his plans and purposes. Number two, why crystallization of character is important? The main reason is that no one can obtain eternal life without a character that is crystallized for doing good. This is true for all of God's intelligent creatures, on the spirit plane as well as on the human plane. To attain everlasting life, it is necessary not only to refrain from sin, but also to actively engage in doing good to others. This is clearly taught in the parable of the sheep and goats, Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46 in part. I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. This is the stated reason as to why the sheep class of the parable inherit the kingdom. The reverse is true of the goat class. Not that they did evil, but that they failed to fulfill the second great commandment to love others as themselves. Other scriptures support the same concept, such as Galatians 6:10. Do good unto all men as you have opportunity. And the golden rule embodied in Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. This concept helps us understand why some who passed the tests under the mediator and achieved perfection as Adam had it will fail the final test of a little season, because such did not attain to a crystallized character. See Revelation 20, 7-9, reprint 5073, question book 400, number 1, question book 423, verse 1, paragraph 1. Perfection as Adam had it is one thing. A crystallized character is something more. Knowledge and appreciation of that knowledge is another factor. Jesus said in John 17:3, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." And from reprint 5684, to know God means to have an intimate acquaintance with him, to be like him in character, to be able to view matters as he views them. Only those who have the mind of God will be granted eternal life, whether of the church now or of the world in the next age. This is not a casual knowledge, but a complete knowledge, as expressed in the Greek of 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. God will have all men to be saved and to come unto an accurate knowledge, epinosis, of the truth. Love is another factor. The Apostle John wrote, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." This principle will also be true for the world of mankind in the future, as already drawn from the parable of the sheep and goats. A similar lesson is taught in the context of the Good Samaritan parable, Luke 10, verses 25 to 37. Jesus' main point in that lesson was, "Do this, love your neighbor as yourself, and thou shalt live." Those who fail to do this demonstrate that they do not have a crystallized character and will not be given eternal life. The following quote from Volume 1, page 151 states the matter in yet another way. "That trial will decide forever who would be righteous and holy under a thousand trials, and will determine also who would be unjust and unholy and filthy still under a thousand trials." Another reason crystallization of character is important is because eternal life is eternal. The full meaning of this statement may not be obvious on the surface. We need to consider further what constitutes eternal life. First of all, eternal life is a condition that includes, but is not limited to, immortality. Here are some examples. From John 3, verses 15 and 16. that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. These verses include partakers of both the spiritual and the earthly resurrections. Romans 2:7. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. This verse applies only to the little flock, but notice it shows that immortality is a form of eternal life. And Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This verse applies to all of Adam's race. Immortality is life in itself. That is not dependent on any external source to maintain that life. It's from the Greek 862, aphthartos, meaning indestructible, imperishable, incorruptible. See 1 Corinthians 9:25, 1 Corinthians 15:52, and 1 Peter 1:4. A similar thought is found in John 5:26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And from John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, a fountain of life. And finally, in Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Excuse me. Those who obtain eternal life but not immortality will forever be dependent on external sources for life. Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. These will be like the trees of life in Eden. And Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that is that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. However, the scriptures clearly state that those who gain eternal life but not immortality will never die. Recall the question posed by the Sadducees regarding the woman who had 7 husbands that had died. Jesus' answer is talking about the earthly resurrection. Yet he says, Luke chapter 20, verses 35 and 36, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die any more. For they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection, anastasis. These do not have immortality, but they have achieved full anastasis and crystallized character. In this sense, they cannot die because their character will never change, and so they will never come under condemnation to death. God will forever supply them with whatever is needed to maintain life. Here we have a connection with the statement that eternal life is eternal. Forever means forever. Main point number three. Who obtains a crystallized character and how? As already stated, all God's intelligent creatures will either attain a crystallized character for good or for evil. It was stated that there is an exception to this rule. That exception is those who fail to make progress after 100 years under the mediator. Such might not have a character that is crystallized for evil, but neither will they have a character that is crystallized for good. They will have failed to make sufficient progress toward the required standard and will die the second death. Isaiah 65, verse 20, the child and 100 years old, the sinner being 100 years old, shall be accursed. The class that attains immortality is limited to the Christ head and body. Romans 2, 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Here is another scripture which shows that immortality is a form of eternal life. All who obtain immortality will have eternal life, but not all who obtain eternal life will have immortality. 1 Corinthians 15:42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. The emphasis given is contained in the Greek. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 53 and 54. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. 2 Timothy 1:10, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And see also the other scriptures listed there at the bottom of that slide. Because the reward is so much higher, and since an immortal being cannot be destroyed, the path of the spirit begotten to a crystallized character is under difficult circumstances. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Acts 14, 22, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. And 1 Peter 4:11 and 12. Brethren, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. These circumstances are necessary, not only because of the high reward of immortality, but also because the amount of time available for this character to be formed and crystallized is comparatively very short. The class that attains to eternal life, but not immortality, includes some on the spirit plane as well as the vast majority of those on the human plane. Colossians 1:20. Jesus will reconcile all things unto himself, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Another related text is 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? What are the things in heaven which need to be reconciled? This could only refer to the fallen angels. We know that their trial time has been going on for many years. Their final judgment is going on now, during the judgment of the great day, as mentioned in Jude 1, verse 6. And their sentence will be passed before the new covenant is inaugurated. Only Satan is bound during the 1,000 years. The disobedient fallen angels will be destroyed. The remainder will achieve reconciliation. Point number 4, how crystallization of character relates to other doctrines. There are many doctrines which are related to this subject. 5 major doctrines will be briefly considered. A, God's character. B, the ransom. C, the sin offering. D, the permission of evil. And E, creation. We begin with God's character. This is a very important subject. There are more than 250 places in the Harvest Message where the phrase God's character appears. The main purpose of the plan of the ages is to educate all God's intelligent creatures, especially concerning his character. The flyleaf of Volume 1 contains these familiar words. We quote, "A vindication of the divine character and government, showing by a recognition and harmonizing of all the scriptures that the permission of evil, past and present, is educational and preparatory to the ushering of mankind into the golden age of prophecy." End of quotation. Similar thoughts are given on Volume 1, page 135, paragraph 2, and other places. The main point here is that all God's creatures must be educated concerning the divine character. The reason for this education is to prepare them for eternal life, the golden age of prophecy. Attainment of eternal life, therefore, is dependent on an accurate knowledge of God's character and a resultant character that is crystallized for good. God's character necessitates crystallization of character as a requirement for obtaining eternal life. We quote from reprint 697. Before man was created, the justice, wisdom, love, and power of God held conference on the subject and devised the plan which has since been developing. The plan was suggested by wisdom and concurred in by the other qualities, the arrangement and execution of it being left in wisdom's hands. Wisdom designed to have the largest returns of experience and benefit to man, and the most valuable illustration of God's character to all his creatures on every plane of being. Accordingly, wisdom said, "Let the man come under the control of justice, love, and power separately, that the force and operation of each may be the more forcibly illustrated." End of quotation. What is the purpose of all God's creatures obtaining the largest returns of experience and the most valuable illustration of God's character for their benefit? It is to educate them, to bring them to a character that is crystallized for good. Each of God's four attributes relates to this subject. God's justice demands it. Psalm 89, verse 14, and Psalm 97, verse 2. Justice is the foundation of his throne. No intelligent creature can be given life unless they come into harmony with God's justice. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38. Life cannot be given to anyone unless they have both faith and justice combined, not only in word, but in action and in character. God's wisdom approves it. We quote from Volume 5, page 484 and 485. Divine wisdom could have adopted another plan of salvation for mankind. But we may just as positively set it down that no other plan could have been devised that would have been better. And so far as our judgment and knowledge go, no other plan could have been devised, even by the Almighty, that would have been so good as the plan he has adopted. This divine plan, when fully consummated, will show forth divine wisdom in a way in which no other plan could have shown it. God's power accomplishes it. We quote from reprint that starts on 1677, but the quote is from 1680. God has chosen the plan which most fully and grandly exemplifies his unalterable justice and exhibits the exceeding riches of his grace, his love, and in the restoration of man from destruction, from death, to perfection and life. God's power will be illustrated far more forcibly than even in man's creation. God's love is the motivation behind it all. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Point or doctrine B, the ransom. The ransom is a complex and time-consuming program with the underlying purpose of not only recovering the race from under the condemnation of sin and death, but to fully establish and vindicate God's character. Such a comprehensive program could not have been brought to fruition in any other way. It completely and systematically displays God's character, especially the attribute of justice. The end result is the bringing of all God's intelligent creatures, both on the spirit plane and on the human plane, to a full understanding of his character, and instilling a desire to have that same character as a fixed attribute of their being, a character that is crystallized for good. Only by a careful study of the plan of God, enlightened by God's Holy Spirit, can anyone arrive at a full appreciation of the ransom doctrine. Volume 5 of Scripture Studies is the best and most detailed Bible study of this concept. Doctrine C, the sin offering. The sin offering is a masterstroke of genius which brings to completion those aspects of God's plan which the ransom makes possible. Repeat. It brings to completion that which the ransom makes possible. Time does not allow for a more detailed consideration of this doctrine and its connection to our study. It is important to understand the relationship between the ransom and the sin offering. The ransom satisfies justice and cancels the original Adamic condemnation. The sin offering accomplishes the lifting up of the ransomed race back to perfection and to a crystallized character worthy of eternal life to all those who obtained. Doctrine D, the permission of evil. This has already been touched upon and is a separate study in itself, like each one of these basic doctrines. The permission of evil provides the perfect alchemy for bringing many sons to glory, Hebrews 2, verse 10, and accomplishes this by bringing them to a character crystallized for good. The word alchemy is defined as the process of taking something ordinary and turning it into something extraordinary. This is an apt description of the results of the permission of evil, though very much an understatement, as it takes something negative and turns it into something sublime. This will be true for all mankind and all those on the spirit plane, for all those who might be created in the future, but especially for the new creation. God takes dust and turns it into gold. So we read in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 to 29. For ye see your calling, brethren, that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Doctrine E is creation. The work of creation as outlined in Genesis involves 7 days or epochs for the ordering of this planet Earth for man's habitation. The first six ended with God's assessment, very good. The work of the seventh day will not be complete until the end of the millennium. Then God will be able to say, very good. The final test of the little season will validate the work of creation by testing the human race, just as Adam was tested at the beginning. This time, the vast majority will pass that test. Why? Because they will have developed a character crystallized for good. No matter how many times tested, such would always pass the test. Such lessons will never be forgotten. That completes our consideration of the five major doctrines and how they relate to our subject. There are many more which could be added to this list, but we'll leave that as homework for you. Point number 5. Crystallization of character in our view of the universe. The material universe was created for a purpose. It was not created in vain, just as the earth was not created in vain. Isaiah 45, verse 18. What is that purpose? It is to serve as an eternal habitation for perfect creatures on the material, physical plane of being who have attained to a character crystallized for good. Spirit beings do not need the material universe. They may well enjoy it, but the spirit realm is undoubtedly more beautiful, more glorious, and more magnificent than anything we can imagine, for so say the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The immensity of the universe, as we are able to view it, makes no logical sense unless it will be possible in the future for these perfect material beings to fully appreciate it and to explore it. How long will that take? The Bible is silent on details of that future time, only stating that there will be ages to come, which will follow the millennium. Ephesians 1:10, Ephesians 2:7, Hebrews 13, verse 8. So what is the connection between crystallization of character and the immensity of the physical universe? Our recent experience with the pandemic has taught us some powerful lessons. Among them is that it only takes one infected person to start a global pandemic. The same principle applies to the ages to come and the necessity for absolute perfection in order for the virus of sin to never again infect God's intelligent creatures. This can only be guaranteed by a complete immunity from sin, as demonstrated in a character crystallized for good. Malachi 4:1 conveys the same thought under a different symbol. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. The phrase neither root nor branch contains a vital concept. It shows the absolute destruction of all sin and evil. Nahum 1:7-9 is also relevant. We'll let you read that for yourselves. As already stated, the material universe was created for a purpose, and that purpose encompasses eternity. God has no beginning and no end. We are not able to grasp the concept of no beginning and probably never will. We can more readily, however, envision something as not having an end. The expression forever in the Bible, when referring to time, means to eternity, or without end, or when used in other contexts, applies to something that is fixed, unalterable, unchangeable. Here are some examples from the Hebrew. We will not read the verses, only give the citations. Genesis 13:15, Psalm 48:14, Ecclesiastes 1:4, and Daniel 2:20. Likewise, here are some examples from the Greek. Philippians 4:20, 1 Timothy 1:17 and Revelation 4:9-10. If forever really means forever, then it stands to reason that the material universe is infinite. If so, we have reason to believe that God will forever continue the work of creation through the instrumentality of the Christ. There will forever be new additions to the grandeur, glory, and beauty that God has in store for those that love Him. And that is only in the material realm. We cannot imagine what God has in store for those who live in the spiritual realm. If forever really means forever, many things we currently view as finite will then be infinite. Time is one area that deserves special attention. Now time is finite. In one way or another, everything we do or try to do is limited by time constraints. It is virtually impossible for us to envision a world where time is no longer a limiting factor. But it's a useful exercise to try. Many aspects of daily life will be changed radically. There will still be planning, and there will still be time economy. God has infinite resources, but He never wastes anything. But time will be a measuring device and not a shackle. Time will be viewed as a friend and not as an enemy. Resources is another area. Now resources are limited. How many of Earth's billions today suffer want in one way or another? The scriptures assure us that this will not be true in the future. The Earth, as a perfect ecological paradise, will forever remain in balance, everything perfectly recycled for endless, infinite use. We criticize Seventh-day Adventist beliefs and other fundamentalist beliefs because they claim that the earth will be burned up. Cosmic evolution theory also claims that the earth will be burned up when our sun goes supernova. Do you believe that the earth will be burned up? When the scripture says the earth abideth forever, what does it mean? Is it possible for the great creator of the universe to keep this promise for those billions of perfect human beings living on planet earth who will have attained to a character crystallized for good? I believe he can, and that he will accomplish it in a perfectly natural way. There are good many things that cosmologists do not fully understand. In summary and in conclusion, crystallized character, what is it? It is a character that is fixed and unchangeable. Why is it important? Only those who attain to a character crystallized for good will obtain eternal life. Who gets it and how? All will benefit from the permission of evil, either by direct experience, by observation, or by information. Jesus and the little flock obtain it by successfully walking the narrow way as more than overcomers, and are rewarded with immortality as divine beings. The great company obtain it by going through great tribulation to wash their robes and are rewarded with eternal life on the spirit plane. The sheep class of the world of mankind obtain it by walking up the highway of holiness, by actively doing good unto others, and by passing the final test of the little season after the close of the millennial age. The holy angels obtain it by remaining obedient, while the fallen angels obtain it by repentance and reformation and by passing their special test during the gospel age harvest. Future beings will obtain it by learning the lessons they will be taught from detailed accounts of the permission of evil by actively doing good to others and by remaining obedient. As perfect beings, their progress toward crystallization of character will undoubtedly be very rapid. How does crystallization of character tie in with foundation doctrines? God's character attributes of justice, wisdom, power, and love work together harmoniously as manifested in all the foundation doctrines, including those that were not considered in this lesson. How does crystallization of character affect our view of the universe? It should help us appreciate all the practical aspects of perfect beings enjoying an infinite future in a perfectly balanced universe with unlimited time and resources. We're all familiar with Volume 1, page 191. Hopefully, this following slight adaptation is appropriate. Close your eyes for a moment to the scenes of misery and woe, degradation and sorrow that yet prevail on account of sin, and picture before your mental vision the glory of a perfect universe. Not a stain of sin mars the harmony and peace of a perfect society. Not a bitter thought, not an unkind look or word. Love, welling up from every heart, meets a kindred response in every other heart, and benevolence marks every act. Their sickness shall be no more, not an ache nor a pain, nor any evidence of decay, not even the fear of such things. The last phrase is especially significant. Not even the fear of such things. No one will ever again have to fear for the future in any way. Those who attain to a crystallized character will never fall. God will provide them with all that they will ever need forever and ever. Amen.